God calls us to a life of faith. Satan calls us to a life of fear. It's a constant battle. Constant battle. Sadly, some people let fear dominate their lives. They live in bondage to fear, and it can manifest itself in so many ways. I thought about listing them, but you know what they are. We can have all kinds of common fears, and we could have bizarre ones. But you all know, I believe, this verse from 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. In fact, one of the most common themes of the entire Bible is fear not. But knowing that and saying that and singing that does not erase the reality of the situation. The reality is that all of us at one time or another struggle with fears. In fact, it is the first emotion that is mentioned in the Bible. It comes to us in Genesis 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And that is a revelation in and of itself. The root of fear began in the Garden of Eden. Satan then watered it, and he nurtured it, and it bloomed. It bloomed into a driving force in the life of so many people, and maybe you are one of them. Now, fast forward many years. A citizen of Bethlehem, a young shepherd, a young king, wrote a song that is designed to help us deal with fears. It's called Psalm 27. One of the greatest messages from this psalm is to give you a supernatural remedy for your natural fears. And what do I mean by supernatural? I mean that it is empowered by God. Wow. David gives us a battle plan, if you will. It's a plan that's filled with principles, it's filled with perspectives, and it's filled with promises. But it begins with something even stronger. It begins with a person. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There's no better remedy for our fears than the person of God, because he is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. You know those words. You've heard them since Sunday school if you started there. But let's review them. He's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He has power over the wind, and he has power over the waves, and he has power over the suns and the moons and the stars. He has power over demons. He has power over pandemics. He even has power over spiders and snakes. Whatever may scare you, he has power over that. Anything that might bring you fear. Omnipresent, what does that mean? That means he's present all the time, everywhere. So if you are afraid and you try to run and hide, he's there too. And you'll meet him. You're never alone when you have God by your side. He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. There are no secrets with God. You cannot put on a fig leaf and hide from God. You can try, but you can't do it. And that also means that you cannot hide your fears from God. He knows exactly what makes you frightened. Psalm 27 is filled with principles and perspectives and promises and a person. Don't you just love it when you have clever alliterations in a sermon? Well, this psalm is also filled with the personal. Ta-da! The Lord, of course, is the person. And he is identified for his power in this psalm. And the personal is identified by the word my. Even though David is the author of this psalm, put your name in that sentence. The Lord is Harry's light. The Lord is John's light. The Lord is Hank's life. I better go to this side because they'll think I'm not equal. The Lord is Dick's life. The Lord is Karen's light. And you can say that if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. It is a personal relationship. In fact, when you read this entire psalm, you discover how personal it is, because the word my is used 17 times in this psalm. The word me is used 18 times in this psalm. And the word I is used 19 times in this psalm. If you do not know God and Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have not yet bloomed. You are just a bud. And there's some blooming left to do in your life. I love this old hymn. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. It's a personal relationship. Hank, would you mind letting them know? You are born, brothers and sisters, to be his own. It is a personal relationship, and that should take care of any and all the fears that you could possibly have in this life. The Lord is the person. The personalization is you and me. And there's also, in that opening phrase, a personality. And that is found this way. Definition of a personality is all the visible aspects of one's character, a sum of what makes a person a person. And in Psalm 27, I believe that's all put into the word light. That is a great way to summarize the personality of God. Light. After all, did you realize that the Bible begins and ends with light as the theme? In Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light." And at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 21, it says, "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is the light, and the Lamb is the lamp." One of the most common fears of young children is the fear of darkness. Did anybody here struggle with that when you were a child? The fear of darkness. Did you ever wonder why that's such a common fear? I don't pretend to know, but I'm going to think out loud with you. Maybe it's because that's where we all were before God said, "Let there be light." And now, as an adult, one of the most frightening things that we can encounter is not being able to see the outcome. The outcome of life-changing situations. How many times Have you waited for the doctor to get back with you with a diagnosis, and you've said the worst part is not knowing? Fear. Another way of putting that is being in the dark. Remember this and claim this. The Lord is your light. The Lord is your light. Matthew 17:2. When Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, it says this. Listen to this description. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. That was a description of Jesus while he was with us on earth. Now, this is a description of Jesus in heaven. Revelation 1:16 says, his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. The Lord is your light. Oh, this could be one of our great words in the series that we have on great words. Light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. His radiance, which surrounds you even when you cannot see it, will chase away any dark fear that you may have in your life. It will comfort you. So take up the mantra that David took up in this psalm. The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? Say that. Amen. Whom shall I fear? Verse 1 continues, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We have the person, now, and we have the personal, and we have the personality of the person, and now we have the protection that he brings to us. Ta-da! The word translated stronghold in the NIV appears 37 times in the Bible, and sometimes it's translated as strength, he is your strength. Sometimes fortress, he is your fortress. Sometimes fort or rock. You get the idea. David elaborates in verse 2. He says, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besieged me, my heart will not fear, he said. Will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. I love that word, confident. When you stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, when you hunker down in the mighty fortress that is your God, you can almost hear the angel Gabriel coming to you and shouting, fear not! You know, I wonder if maybe he did that on the plains of Bethlehem. Fear not! It's never read that way at Christmas, is it? It's just a thought. It may not be evil men advancing against you or an army. It may be cancer. It may be divorce. It may be the threat of COVID-19. It may even be death, and that one's for sure. It may be the IRS threatening to audit you. It may be the MVA saying that you have to prove to me you can still drive safely, or you can't have your driver's license anymore. Or it may be Harry asking you to stand up here and read the scriptures. Fear! No matter what the enemies are, no matter what the threat may be, David said, I will be confident. And of course, he was talking about confidence not in his own strength, but in the strength of Almighty God, who, in fact, had already demonstrated to David his power through a slingshot and five smooth stones. David knew all about that. Do you get it? God does not want us to live in fear. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. There's that word again. And ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. There it is again. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And this is Psalm 32, verse 7. You, God, are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. God is the person. You are the personalization, you and I. God's light is the personality. His power is the protection. Please don't groan. Now we come to the priority of this psalm, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. You know this, David was a worshiper. David loved God, and he was a worshiper. He sang to him. He danced before him. He talked with him. He adored him. David laughed with God. David wept with God. David praised God and he worshiped God. When that is the priority of your life, there's no room for fear. Question. When you wake up in the morning, what's one of the first questions that comes to your mind? Is it, what's the weather going to be today? Or is it, what's on my calendar? What do I have to do today? Or is it, what am I going to cook for dinner tonight? Or is it, I wonder what happened in the news last night? Or is it, what can I do today to worship God more deeply? That was David's heart. If your priorities are out of line, then you're opening yourself to all kinds of fears and more. You could be opening yourself to sickness and depression and grief and more. David said, desire this one thing more than any other, and that is to be as close to God as you possibly can. And gaze upon his beauty. When you gaze upon God, you won't be able to look at your fears the same way. We have the person. We have the personalization. We have the personality. We have his protection. We have our priority. And finally, we have prayer. It begins in verse 7. It says, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Now, this is ridiculously simple, what I'm about to say. It is painfully obvious. But God cannot hear your voice unless you call to him. Prayer. You can celebrate his person. You can celebrate his protection. And you can mean it with all your heart. You're called to praise him. But you're called to do more than that. You're called to commune with him. You're called to have fellowship with him. You're called to have a personal relationship with him. But that will not happen unless you talk with him. The way David talked with him. Verse 8, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Notice that David did not say, Lord, don't hide your hand from me. He didn't say, Lord, don't hide your grace from me. Don't hide your mercy from me. He said, don't hide your face from me. I want to seek your face, O Lord. What does that mean? It means to seek his presence in your life. His presence. Yes, I know, another alliteration. But it's an all-powerful alliteration. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God's presence when they realized their sin and their rebellion. And we sometimes tried to hide from him too, you know. But God repeatedly says in his word, seek my face. Seek my presence. You know this one well. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We often forget that part. We remember the humbling, we remember the praying, but we forget the seek my face part. And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Oh, we want that, don't we? We want that. Part of it is seeking his face. That is a promise from God. God wants you to seek his face in repentance, and he promises that he will hear you, that he will forgive you, and that he will heal. Therefore, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Brothers and sisters, you've got God on your team. Did you know that? Hallelujah. So David closes in verse 14 with a proposition. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. He didn't say it once. He said it twice. Wait for the Lord. Biblically speaking, that is not just a suggestion. That is not just a command. That is not an invitation. It is an expectation. It is an act of faith that God will act. Wait upon the Lord, and he will act. He will. Oh, for grace to trust him more, right? I love what Isaiah said in chapter 40. They who wait for the Lord. And I like this verse even more the older I get. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, what? And not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall not use a cane or a rollator or an arm. Of course, Isaiah was speaking of spiritual strength. He wasn't speaking of physical strength. Brothers and sisters, do you need to have your spiritual strength renewed? Then sing the song that David sang with confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so full of encouragement, and we are surrounded with so much discouragement. I pray that these words of David, that this song would penetrate our spirits and our souls and help us, Lord, to walk in your strength and your power. Oh, how we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.